I knit a lot this time of year. I'm not very good at making things or using my hands. I'm not domestic and I'm not crafty, but I love knitting. And for some reason, I always choose to knit really difficult patterns. I belong to a knitting group that meets every Sunday night. We call ourselves Smart Knits because just about everyone in the group has a graduate degree. It's an amazing group of women who are phenomenal fiber artists, as well as scientists, expert bakers, beer brewers, award-winning chocolatiers, obsessed birders, handbell players, CrossFit junkies, black belts. They're peak performers in just about anything else it's possible to be really good at. We're pretty representative of the new face of knitting. We still sit in a circle, drinking tea, whipping up baby booties, and receiving blankets, but we do that after a long day of rock climbing, or data analysis, or radio collaring endangered bird species. I'm currently working on a pair of Latvian mittens. I was attracted to the complicated needlework of Latvian patterns because they're complicated and beautiful. To prepare for my first pair of Latvian mittens, I ordered the Definitive Collection of Patterns, an ethnographic treasure trove of graphs recreated from museum-quality heirlooms. It isn't just a book of patterns, though, because Latvian mittens aren't just mittens. Traditionally, the symbols and colors of your mittens said a lot about you, especially where you were from, down to the village, or even the farmhouse in some cases. In addition to status and clan, a woman's knitted mittens also reflected strongly on her character. All of her life's experience could be expressed in her handiwork. But one pair of mittens wasn't enough to say all that. Latvian women knitted hundreds of pairs of mittens, and their dowries included an entire chestful of mittens to be distributed to her husband's family, given not just to her new in-laws, but also to her husband's family's cows and pigs, their fruit trees, and even to inanimate objects like doorknobs and stables. The bride and groom even ate their wedding meal with their mittens on. Many a folk song tells of the foolish man who chooses a pretty hand over a warm one. I had to read 21 pages of Latvian cultural history before I could even get started on my first mitten, and I got really overwhelmed. Do these mittens represent an archaic system of gender inequality? Is it slavery to knit these mittens? Are these mittens chattel? Am I chattel? What have I gotten myself into? Oh, and every time you make a mistake, you're supposed to rip out the whole mitten and start over, because they have to be absolutely perfect, according to tradition. Unblemished. Virginal. It's going to take me years to finish. My commitment to these mittens rivals my marriage. I'm highly tuned to symbolism in my life. I can't just turn it off. I can't just knit these stupid, complicated mittens because I like the way they look. But I'm not knitting them for my husband, or my mother-in-law, or her dog, or her rosebush. I'm knitting them for myself. And with every stitch, and every hand cramp, and every ripped-out stitch, I think about how uncomplicated my life is, how free and how undictated it is. I think about how I married for love, without worrying about a dowry or having to prove my worth by knitting through my adolescence until my fingers bled. I got married on a whim. There wasn't a lot of symbolism at my wedding. It was like a lot of parties I'd thrown before and have thrown since. Which is why I was surprised on December 20th last year at how excited I was that the legal right of marriage was extended to every consenting, unrelated adult couple in Utah. Not because I don't believe in equal rights, but because I didn't think that marriage was that big of a deal. Before I read Judge Shelby's ruling on Utah's unconstitutional definition of marriage as between one man and one woman. Because marriage wasn't ever denied to me, and because I never had to work for it. It wasn't until the state started playing ping pong with people's committed relationships that I started to really think about marriage as this beautiful thing. And as I labor stupidly at these way above my ability mittens on Sunday nights in a room full of women who prove how far we've come in terms of what women can choose to do with their lives, I'm dumbstruck by how far we still have to go with recognizing what equality means. I'm Jennifer Pemberton.